It is wonderful to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. Thank you to those who've led in our worship this morning and directing our minds in song, directing our minds around the Lord's Supper, leading us in Scripture, leading us in prayer. And thank you, for, as Justin said this morning, for bringing energy to our worship. It is exciting, isn't it, to be able to worship our Lord. It is exciting to know that when we come together, we can grow closer to Him, closer to one another, and stir up love and good works. And so today, my prayer as we get ready to challenge ourselves is that we will get stronger. We will leave here stronger. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. Let me tell you a few ways that we can do that on an aside. First of all, we need to be busy. We ran it on the bulletin again. We'll probably run it a few more times because October 27th will be here before we know it. And we are going to have 400 in attendance that day. I say that in a confident way because I know you're going to be busy asking, inviting, encouraging, and in helping others come to Jesus Christ. Come to worship here at Azalea City that day. It'll be a family day. It'll be a great day. And so God will really, really bless us in that. So be praying about it. Please put feet on those prayers. And let's be encouraging people to be here with us. Also, I'm going to talk to our men for a moment. Remember our men's ministry. It's been a lot of buzz in the air. I'm ready to get back together. And so not this Monday, not tomorrow, but the next Monday. And I know softball's going on. There's a lot of great things going on. But for those who can, that Monday night, and again, we video the sessions, and so I can always let you know how to view that and get the video to you. But Monday night, let's be together September the 30th. That's another way to grow. As men, we can grow together. Ladies, I understand there's great talk in the air about what you all will be doing with a heart-to-heart type ministry. And so I appreciate everything that's going on. I mean, there is a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of growth in the air. And that can't help but to strengthen us, right? That can't help but to bring us strength for not only our individual walks, but those we may come in contact with. I guess for as long as I can remember, I've wanted to be strong. I grew up a baby in my family, the baby in my family. And I have an older brother and a middle brother. One is 9 years older than me and one is 5 years older than me. I love them both dearly, but they were older brothers. And I won't say anything so y'all don't squirm this morning, okay? Also grew up with a dad who was really just an older brother in some ways, but he was my dad, don't get me wrong. But in my office, I'll tell you one thing, I have a duck mounted that my dad shot that when I was crawling, they would all chase me around because I was scared of it. They would chase me around the house and torment me with it and thought it was the best times. And so, you know, it was one of the little things that made me stronger, right? You know, as you grow up. But I wanted to be like my brothers. I wanted to be like my dad. I felt like my dad was the toughest man alive, you know. I wanted to be like my older brother who was such a great athlete. I wanted to be like my middle brother because he got into weightlifting and I really wanted to be a part of that. And I just wanted to be there. I had heroes like Superman, the Incredible Hulk, and all these big muscle-bound guys. And then Rocky was out and Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then in 1985, I turned on the TV and I saw this giant of a man named Hulk Hogan. And he was running wild and I was a Hulkamaniac. And all these guys were monster, huge guys. And so I wanted to be strong. I wanted to work out. Well, fortunately, I've been able to accomplish a few of those goals, I guess I had as a child. I've had some great workout partners over the years, been a member of a lot of gyms over the years, and I still take working out very serious. But I want you to know that today, the greatest strength we can have is not our bench press numbers. The greatest strength we can have is not, and I appreciate Jacob and got a new PR too at that race, as I understand. but guys like Jacob and all of you that like to run and being the best you can be as a runner, I appreciate y'all training and doing that. But the greatest strength we can have is not on the track. It's not on the athletic surface. It's not even in the classroom. The greatest strength we can have is being strong in Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it's all about. When David says to Solomon, David is about to step into eternity, right? He's about to die. He's on his deathbed, if you will. Solomon is now the king, going to be the king of all Israel, okay? And David looks up at him, and just like a father, a strong father, a mighty father, a king, giving his son, the prince, the future king, the advice he needs, he says, Solomon, go out and prove yourself a man. Now, with that, he didn't say, Solomon, I want you to go out and I want you to try to be the strongest guy in the weight room. He didn't say, Solomon, I want you to go out, even though he did, and be the strongest guy in the dating world or marriage world, okay? He didn't say, Solomon, I want you to go out and have a bigger bank account than others, even though he did. That's not what he said. He said, Solomon, prove yourself a man. And here's what he said. He said, in doing that, and I'm putting my words into it now, he said, you, by doing that, you will serve the Lord, you will walk in His ways, you will keep His commands. Today, do you want to be the strongest husband you can be? Today, do you want to be the strongest wife you can be? Today, you want to be the strongest teenager you can be? The strongest worker, the strongest student, the strongest person walking around that you can be? Well, let's get the physical thought out of it. Let's get the spiritual thought into it. And today, let's open our hearts and minds as we embark in a journey on the strength that we can gain and have renewed through Jesus Christ. You know, life is tough. Life is a challenge. There are times when you can think you're doing it all right and you do it all wrong, right? There are times when you think, hey, everything's going to be all right, and you can be standing on solid ground and somebody pull that rug right out from under you and you fall flat on your face. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster. Life shoots you out 0 to 60, and all of a sudden it's a smooth ride, but then it drops and it corkscrews and it flips upside down. See, life is tough, but I want you to know that because life is tough, there is an even greater need for strength. And strength in Jesus Christ. And you remember in Adam and Eve? You remember when they were in the garden? You know how awesome it had to be, right? To look around, and Brother Virgil was painting such a beautiful scene of that park and that area. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve were able to paint the picture of Eden in our minds today? We can imagine, right? Glorious garden, beautiful trees, beautiful fruit, plenty to eat. Just stay away from one. And as long as they were with God, they were strong, but they journeyed out away from Him for a time, right? And Eve gave in, Adam gave in. And here's what's interesting for me to see in that story. When they understood sin, they didn't say like, yeah, I'm the toughest person alive. When they realized they sinned, they didn't think, we didn't need God too much. No, what did they do? They didn't do anything of bravery. They acted cowardly and they went and hid. You see, that's what sin does. We might think that sin makes us tough, and I'm not saying us, but the world might think that the more I can get drunk, or the higher I can get, or the more women I can be with, or the more men they can be with, or whatever, the more I can cheat, the more I can not pay my taxes, the more I can steal, the more I'm tough. No, it makes us really weak. We go into hiding. We're hiding from the real realization that we need something. If somebody is so on fire for something else, it's because they're lacking the true desire, and that's God. Everybody has something lording over them. Some people will go out of their way to make things that do not matter in life be their Lord. And then they'll put up a pretty good front. Hey, I don't need this. I don't need that. You know, I've heard athletes say before, one in particular, I won't call his name, but he did some remarkable things. Ended up, he was using steroids, but he did some remarkable things and was able to accomplish a lot of things and was able to overcome some life hurdles. And he even made the comment when someone asked him about, hey, how did God help you through this? He said, no, God didn't help me through this. I did this on my own. You see, folks, when somebody is saying things like that, they need God more than ever. If today you think, hey, I don't need God, this is a checkoff kind of thing, I'm just here because I don't want to, you know I'm supposed to do it, I want you to know that you need God more than you can ever imagine. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 37, please. Today, as we talk about gaining strength and renewing our strength, you know, I mentioned this Wednesday night, but one way we get stronger is you take short reps on heavy weight, okay? You take short reps on heavy weight. What I mean by that is instead of sets of 10 and maybe 65% of a max, you would take sets of 6 at 75 or 6 sets of 4 at 85%, something like that. And you do that and you make sure you got somebody with you. You know why that spotter is so important? Because if you can't get that heavy weight up, you got somebody that'll lift it off of you. Well, today I want you to know you're going to tap into the greatest spotter of all time. And he's going to help you with whatever you're trying to bear. There's endurance, but then there's also those short bursts of strength that we've got to have and prepare us. And today I want you and me to be able to see what happens when we tap into the strength of our Lord. Psalm 37, a psalm of David now, beginning in verse 1. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. That's who I'm talking about. There's a group of people out there that they get the headlines. They get the media. They get everything that they want, and people put them on pedestals. Because they have money, they have strength, they have fame, they have power. But that's not true strength. That's not true power. David goes on to say, for like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. In fact, David says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. You know what he's saying? When you plug into God, you will have power. Take delight, verse 4, in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. That last verse there, I included it because of this. When I was a child, I made sure that I was around people that loved me and cared for me, and I was always blessed. My grandmother was one of them. This is my dad's mom. I spent a lot of time with her. She was such a kind soul. Such a great encourager. And she was tough. I mean, she battled cancer for a very long time. Very, very tough lady. Small in stature, but tough inside. But when I was a child, I had a lot of, I call them anger sharks built up. they would swim around in my head. And they would surface. And you know, like, I think Shark Week is a very popular week around here, right? When Jaws would attack, what happened? Bad thing. So when those sharks would surface, bad things would happen. Bad things would take place. And so with that, I remember flying into a fit of rage, probably over a cousin or something one time. And all of a sudden, my grandma pulls me aside and says, "Son, I need you to understand something." I said, "What's that, Meemaw?" She said, "If you don't learn to control that temper, it's going to get you in trouble." And I've never forgotten that. Now, I'm thankful that God has taken a lot of that from me. I still have times of anger, but I don't have those fits of rage anymore. And so when I see that verse, when it says, "Stop being angry, turn from your rage, do not lose your temper, it only leads to harm," it reminds me that our strength can be in control. And we can allow God to control us. So what happens when we surrender our everything to God? We renew our strength. Well, there are a few things I want you to think about this morning that we're going to pull from this text. First of all, this: when I have renewed strength, I'll then reflect God's character. I want you to think about verse 3 again when he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Then in verse 4, he said, "Take delight in the Lord." You see that trust in the Lord? That means I've got to surrender my strength. I've got to surrender my control. I've got to put my hope, my trust, my all into something else. This is not really a hard concept to understand because we understood it as a child, right? You know, our children. Now, you know, I think about when they may get scared, you know, or may get concerned, especially little or even today sometimes, right? When they get scared or they what do they want? They want us. Why do they want us? Because we will protect them. They will surrender their hands. They will surrender their fears. They will surrender their tears. They will say, "Hey, I want to do this." Why? Because my mom and dad will protect me. So we understand the concept, right? So today is about surrendering our strength to the one who will protect us. You know what we observe when our children surrender and want to be more like us? They become like us. They have certain characteristics or they react certain ways, and I can relate the same with my parents, right? So we reflect their character. Well, guys, the best character we can reflect today is Almighty God's. And so when I surrender my trust to Him, you know what I'm going to do? Boy, I love He made it so simple. I'm going to go around doing good. That's what Jesus said. That's what's said about Jesus. He went about doing good. So strength is in trusting God. Strength is in doing good. Can you think back when you and your spouse were dating, maybe courting, right? Can we go back and talk about it that way? What did you do? You spent time together. Did you see recently? This just come to my brain. Sorry, you know I'm ADD. Did you see recently somebody has taken all these pictures with people with phones and they've removed them? Like they've taken the phone out, but the pictures are still there. It looks so funny. But that's how people date now. They go on dates and they text one another or they Snapchat. But back in the day before we had all this, what did we do? We'd go out somewhere. We court, you know, we tried to earn their love, right, guys? And you know, we would talk to them and we'd open doors for them and I can remember, I can't stand to talk on the phone. Now I like to text. I'd rather text than talk. But I'll just say this. When Michelle and I were dating, we didn't have text, okay? We talked on the phone and we did it for a long time. Why? I wanted to get to know her. She wanted to get to know me. Bless her heart. She still married me. But the point is, when we did that, we grew more intimate, meaning we grew closer, and our relationship strengthened. The more you and I are with God, the stronger and closer we will be. That's how that works. The more I spend with my significant other, the closer I get. The stronger our bond is. The more I spend with God Almighty, the closer we get, the stronger our bond is, the stronger my faith is. The next part of this, he says, delight in the Lord. Delight. That's a good word. I like the word delight. That's a good thing. When I surrender my trust to Him, it's not something I'm going to dread. It's something I'm going to be happy about. I'm going to find joy in. I'm going to be reflecting His character. I want to ask you today, what is your greatest delight? Is it your marriage? Is it our children? Is it money? Is it our hobbies? Is it nothing at all? You see, the most important thing in our lives should be delight yourself in the Lord. That's the strongest thing we could do today. What happens when I do that? Well, number one, I'm going to be stronger. But number two, I'm going to reflect God's character. I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to be the best husband and wife I could be. That's the character of God. I'm going to be the best parent, the best friend, the best encourager, the kindest, the lovingest, the one most full of joy. You see, godly strength points others to God. We talked about Acts 16 in Bible class this morning, Paul and Silas. As two strong guys, physically and spiritually. They had been beaten with rods, locked in maximum security, had a jailer assigned to them. But amidst all that, they reflected God's character. They sang songs of praise. They prayed prayers. God delivered an earthquake. It freed them, but they didn't leave because they showed another sign of God's character. I want to be a soul winner. You see, today the greatest thing we can do is surrender our lives to God. We will gain strength and we'll reflect God. But number two, here's the beautiful thing about it. Not only am I going to be more like God, but I'm also going to have renewed strength. I'm going to receive God's blessings. If you go back to verse 4, he says, take delight in the Lord, and guess what? He will give you your heart's desires. Isn't that crazy? By the way, it's the Psalm of David. You know where David was a lot of times writing these Psalms? Out in the woods, out in the fields, I should say. Shepherding flocks, delighting in the Lord, surrendering his strength. Well, guess what? There came a time when he took a rock and a sling and he slayed a giant. It came a time when he became king. It came a time when, yeah, he had some weak moments, but he had his delight in the Lord, and guess what happened? God gave him the desires of his heart. He received the blessings. What about Solomon? Solomon had the magic lamp, if you will. Rub the lamp, out appears God. Okay, he's the greatest of all, the greatest giver of all. He says, Solomon, whatever you desire, I'll give you. Wow. What an open-ended question, right? Solomon said, Lord, I think I'll have wisdom. I'll choose door number one, which is wisdom. Behind door number one was not only wisdom, it was fame, it was fortune, power. God gave it all to him because he made the right choice. Now, he didn't do the things he probably should have done with that, right? But at the same time, you want to be strong? Yes, I want to be strong spiritually. Well, guess what? God's going to give us the rest of these things as well. It's so important to see this, that in the verse, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Delight comes before desire. That's just the way it's got to be. If I'm going to do what God wants me to do and I'm going to be as strong as God wants me to be, then I must delight in Him before I receive any blessings. Yeah, there are people that receive things all the time. But if it's going to cause me to be further away from God and weaker spiritually, I don't want it. The church is full of a lot of strong Christians. It is. This room is full of a lot of strong Christians. But the church is also full of those who are weak. Why? Maybe I've got my desire ahead of my delight. And we've got to change that. Thirdly, this morning, what happens when I surrender my strength, when I renew my strength, when I tap into the power of God? Boy, here's the best part of all, right? I'm going to receive God's power. Wow. Wow. How strong is that? If you look at verse 5 again, he said, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Did you hear that? He said, when you plug into God, when you surrender your strength to God, okay? When I surrender my strength to God, He will help you. That means we're tapping into His power. You know, if we were to stick something in that electrical outlet, we would get shocked. Why? Because there's electricity running to it, and it would... it's got power. We were at the cafeteria on Thursday. Remember that? A football team, middle school team, and some parents that are here and all. And all of a sudden, lightning struck something. And we look out and we see at the press box of the baseball field, it's the electrical box is on fire. Just that quick. Bam! There was power and it fried it. You see, God created that power. I look and I see what can happen with water. You can see what can happen with wind. You can see what can happen with earthquakes. You can see what can happen on this earth. They're all powerful, right? And I want you to know, God created it all in 6 days. That's the power I will tap into when I surrender my strength to Him. That word commit, it's a great word. In the Hebrew, it literally means to roll over. Okay, to give over, to roll over. What do you need to roll over to God today? How about our own selfish ways, right? We're selfish people. I mean, James told us that. We sin because of the lust of our own desires. We have our own selfish desires that we want, that selfishness. We need to roll that over. Well, I'm concerned about my family. I'm concerned about my wife or my husband or my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, whoever it may be. I'm concerned about they've got this, they've got that. Roll that over to God today. Roll it over to Him. I'm concerned about my job. I'm concerned about the people I work around. I'm concerned about having a job. Roll it over to Him today. I'm concerned about my friends. Hey, I want them to come to church. Bring them on Sunday the 27th. You got that plug? But roll it over to God. Roll it over to Him. I'm concerned about my thoughts. I'm having bad thoughts today. Roll it over to God. I'm concerned about my worries. Boy, I've got worries. Roll it over to Him. Tap in. Try Him. Try Him. Sometimes, and I'll say this from a man's point of view, sometimes we, as men especially, we don't want to admit weakness. You know, and we don't want to admit, hey, I can't do something, or I'm not strong enough to do it, or, you know, it's kind of like opening that jar. Wife gives us that jar to open. Oh, yes, sir. I mean, I'm going to get it open if I got to go out there and cut it off. She won't see it. But I'm right? Why? We got to do it. We're men. You know, or what happens when you get it, and you get it, you get it, and then she pops it right off. You're like, well, I loosened it up for you. Right? Isn't that how we say it? We don't want to admit weakness. Well, I want you to know one of the greatest strengths we can do today is to admit we can't handle it on our own. One of the greatest signs of strength we could have today is to roll over everything we are struggling with to our God. Water boils at 212 degrees. Isn't that crazy? That's hot. At 211 degrees, you got some really hot water, but it's not boiling. At 211 degrees now, that water is hot, but it's not at a boiling point. 1 degree makes all the difference. Without God, we will always be just short of accomplishing the things in life that we're supposed to accomplish. Without tapping into His strength, we will always be just short. Today, we need to be on fire. We need to be boiling over. We need to be so strong as a church. By the way, we can't be a strong church unless we're strong individually. We've got to start with us, with me, with I, with you. Maybe that's 1 degree you got to step it up today. Maybe it's 1% better. But every day of my life, every day of your life, I need to get up with a mindset of, I'm going to give it one more degree today, God. I'm going to give it 1 more percent. I'm going to surrender and roll it all over to You. I'll be like God. I'll reflect His character. I'll tap into His blessings. I'll tap into His power. But then finally, man, this is a beautiful thought right here. When I have renewed strength, I'm going to find rest in God's will. Verse 7. Be still, or some versions literally say rest, in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for Him to act. The word don't worry, the phrase don't worry, in the Hebrew there, it means to burn or be extremely hot. You know how when you worry, you get anxious? If you've never had a panic attack, if you've had panic attacks, you know how this feels. Your heart speeds up, and the blood pressure goes up and everything, and you feel, oh, I'm hot, I'm burning, that's the idea. Okay, worry, that extreme hotness, that burning desire. Things that happen in this imperfect world can get us all steamed up. Can get us all worked up, get us hot around the collar, right? Heat can come out of us. Why? We're worrying, we're concerned. Why? Why are we going to do that anymore? When I plug into the power of God, I tap into His strength, there'd still be anxious days. There's still going to be days of concern. Everything's going to not just be peachy all the time. There are going to be days when we struggle, but there are going to be worries taken away from us. Today, you can find peace in God. You can find strength in God. You can find character of God. You can find blessings. You can find power. But we can find rest. We can find peace. If you've been trying to do it on your own, you have gotten yourself all twisted up. Don't you love it when it's 100 degrees outside? Nobody says yes to that. And you're trying to... You're hot and you're sweaty and you're tired and you're miserable and you get maybe an extension cord down or something like that and you didn't roll it up the right way and you throw it out there and it's all not, oh man, and you just, and the more you pull it, the more it knots and you're all frustrated. Well, guess what? Today, God's going to take that all that we've messed up on our own and He's going to straighten it out. Renewing our strength. That's where the rest is going to come from. But if I don't tap into God, it's like having a gym membership and never going. It's never going to do us any good. As we go on in this little series of lessons, We're going to talk about what it takes to be a strong church, but I wanted us to start with you and me today. Start with the man or woman in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see a strong person? Do you see a weak person? If you see a strong person, I'm guessing I see a person that's tapped into the power of God. We all have weak moments. And sometimes it's the little things that can cause us to be the weakest. I remember when our children, Michelle got up mostly with our children during the night. But there was an occasion or two when I would get up, and I remember specifically with Bo, he was brand new and trying to let Michelle sleep a little bit, even though she wasn't. And Bo was hungry. And we had a bottle warmer. We thought that was the latest, greatest thing in the world, right? You know, you put the water in there and it starts heating up. It heats that bottle up and it's going to be so soothing. Well, when I first got it out, I'd test, and he's screaming his head off. Okay? Ah, he's so upset. And I'm trying, it's like, you know, early in the morning, you can't even think. And I heat the bottle up and I test it and it's still a little cool. So I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well, so I heat it up again. He's still screaming his head off. So you're tired. All this has escalated. And so then I get the bottle. When it dings, I'm like, hallelujah, right? Then it's too hot. At that moment, I wanted to take that bottle warmer, rip it out of the wall, and crush it into about 1 million pieces. You see, when we're tired, when we're worn out, when things are out of our control, it doesn't take much to set us off. But today we don't have to be tired. We don't have to be worn out. We don't have to be weak. We can surrender it all. Tap into the power of God. Do it right now together. We stand and sing.